All right, how's that? Have the mic now? Okay, good. Sorry, I think what I did was I turned on my camera and forgot to take the mic. Too many things to do now that I'm trying to get in the habit of using the camera. But welcome to Gentle Healing. My glasses are steaming up. I'm having a hot flash right now, so I can't really see you guys very well. But it'll clear out in a second. So it's good to see y'all. And I have a song that I'm going to play to get us started. This song is a song, well, from my childhood. And so for some of y'all, from your childhood too. And it's a song about just choosing to be happy. You know, it says that there are some things you can't do in life, but you can be happy if you choose to be. Some of y'all might recognize this song. It is by Roger Miller, and it's called You Can't Roller Skate in a Buffalo Herd.
You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. Can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. But you can be happy if you've mind to. You can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. Can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. Can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. But you can be happy if you've mind to. All you gotta do is put your mind to it. Knuckle down, buckle down. Do it, do it, do it. Well, you can't go swimming in a baseball pool. Swimming in a baseball pool. You can't go swimming in a baseball pool. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. You can't change film with a kid on your back. Can't change film with a kid on your back. Can't change film with a kid on your back. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. You can't drive around with a tiger in your car. Can't drive around with a tiger in your car. You can't drive around with a tiger in your car. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. All you gotta do is put your mind to it. Knuckle down, buckle down. Do it, do it, do it. Well, you can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. Happy if you've a mind to. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd.
But you can be happy if you've a mind to. There we go. Roger Miller, you guys remember? You remember that song? You never heard that song before. Oh, well, maybe you're too young. How old are you? You guys have never heard that song? Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's not in New York. Okay, Nancy, you have an excuse. Yeah, I was in Kansas. I was in Kansas. But it's a fun song, isn't it? Roger Miller. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. But you can be happy if you've a mind too. So hi everyone. Okay, so Ken says he was in Barstow, California, and he heard it. So maybe it was just for those of us who were west of the Mississippi. So it's good to be here with you all for Gentle Healing. Just to let you know, we are currently still on track to close on our retreat house on Friday. So that's only now a few days away, and it's looking pretty good. The bank has informed me that all the papers that need to be signed and prepared are signed and prepared. We're waiting for the closing company to finish their part of the paperwork. But we are scheduled right now to close on the retreat house at 10 a.m. on Friday morning. And we have picked out a house full of furniture that we are going to order this weekend and hopefully have delivered the following Sunday, the 14th of October. So we are getting ready for y'all. I hope you're planning to come. We're buying you beds and and sheets and towels and, you know, all kinds of chairs to sit in, dishes to eat on. I hope you come. And soon we'll begin working on our first year retreat schedule. So, and of course you can come when there's not a retreat. Remember, you can come for what we call a self-directed retreat. Come and be there and follow your own guidance on how you want to spend the time. So you could come for an organized retreat or just come and be there. Or, you know, what might really be cool is come for both, like come for an organized retreat and then also come a week early or stay a week late and do your own thing, right? So, so I'm looking forward to it. As a result, as a result of closing on a retreat house this week and working on a new sanctuary schedule and getting ready for an Italy trip and everything else, I did not have time to read Rupert Spira again. I really had a choice. I could read Rupert Spira or eat supper. And I chose to eat supper. So other than that, I'm fully prepared for gentle healing. And maybe better prepared since I took that little break to eat supper. That gave me about a half an hour of not working before I came here. And that was probably good for me too, because I've been working like a dog since early this morning. I also had two personal things to take care of today. One of my credit cards was compromised, so I had to call and get that locked and request a new credit card. And then somehow I lost my driver's license. I can't imagine how, but I've been really busy lately. Somehow, somewhere, somebody asked for my ID and I took it out and showed it to them and it never got back in my wallet. So I had to go get a new driver's license today because I will absolutely need a driver's license on Friday for the closing. That was something that couldn't wait. So I've been very, very busy since very early. And it was nice to have a half hour break as well. So hopefully y'all will be okay that I skip again 2 weeks in a row the Rupert Spira part of the class. But other than that, I'm fully prepared. And you guys get to talk first, which means I get to relax a little more. So who would like to get us started? All right, I see Sherry Daves. Sherry, looking forward to hearing your voice. And I know you went on retreat this weekend. I don't know if you have anything to share about that, but I'm real curious to hear about what you thought about the retreat as well. The mic is yours.
Okay, how about now? Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, lots to share. Actually, I won't share about the retreat right now other than to say it's extremely intensive. what I would like to share about, though, is my contemplation of today's thought of awakening, which was 252. So I'll just read it first. Today's thought said, light is a symbol for that which shines from within stillness, which is absence from fear. Stillness is peace because stillness is absence of all that isn't real. Therefore, you can trust stillness because stillness is truth and truth cannot deceive. So there's a story. And so the story has to do with my son. Often my son's the lead in my stories. And my son appears to have been involved with this like laundry list of all the creepy crawlies that moms don't want to think their sons should be involved with. And him, like, withholding the full story of all the goings on from me, translated, what I think of as lying to me, and the result of which is that the mom in me feels scared, feels frightened about her son's safety and his peace of mind. And of course, but the mom in me does want to fret over it, worry about it, albeit all that's like in the name of what the mom in me wants to call love for her child. And the mom in me feeling manipulated inside and angry at the lies she thinks she's hearing from her son, basically feeling deceived. So today's thought, the comment that truth cannot deceive caught what my heart's ear. And so I asked in the wisdom, what would you have me know about truth and deception? And the response was, in essence, deception cannot exist. Deception is an ego-derived concept that acts as the making of fuel for its own consumption. Its ability to move from simply coming into your awareness to growing into a full-fledged entity is fueled solely by your giving it the nourishment of your attentive energy. Remove your energy and it naturally withers and fades away. To move from your habitually casting attentive, creative energy on the belief in deception, use instead the bridge I have offered, that of true perception, which moves you from the position of relative truth to that of absolute truth. While deception is the belief in the purposeful act of another to intentionally withhold truth from you, misperception is the belief that you can be apart from truth itself. Observe that both deception and misperception require first a belief in both an other and a you as separate entities apart from one another. Observe next that both deception and misperception require belief that there's both truth and other than truth. Observe finally that both terms are concepts made up by ego as a desire to maintain its own usefulness, its own vitality in the universe of your thinking mind. When the opportunity arises to visit the conceptual world artfully arranged by ego's frantic need to sustain its own season of vitality in the life of you, first see that the invitation is from ego. Have compassion for its desire to spin and dance and try to attract you to its fading party, trying to keep itself alive, relevant, and vital to you. Remember that it's just an invitation, optional, like attending a cocktail party, not a summons requiring the mandatory appearance of your believing energy, and that you're at choice about accepting or declining the invitation. When you let ego dance in the disco lights of its own party of belief and deception without your attendance of believing energy, that party loses its relevance in your life, loses its interest to you, and fades away of its own accord. When you choose instead to decline the invitation of casting believing attention on the concept of deception, you are lovingly held in the gentle embrace of the waltz of heart itself. And together, heart and you, beating in unison as one, dance across the bridge of true perception to truth itself. In the pure light of truth itself, there is no other to deceive. There is no separate you who might be deceived. And the concepts of both deception and misperception drop away, revealing only truth. With compassion and gentleness, deception is seen for what it is, no thing. And you are reminded that your desire is to do no thing on your own outside of truth, to be no thing outside of truth, and to cultivate the ongoingness of no thing outside of truth. In this way, you and truth exist as one, a shining emptiness through which love itself may be lived as well.
No, Yeah, thank you very much. That was beautiful. You know, whenever your pen starts striking the paper, you know, it always turns out very poetic and very beautiful. And I always love listening. So thank you so very much for sharing that, Sherry. And you're right, the enlightenment intensives are intensive. I called it spiritual boot camp was my nickname for it. Lynn, the mic is yours.
Hi, everyone. I like that spiritual boot camp because sometimes it does feel that way. I'd like to share from Saturday, Regina's tip 249, stay focused. A conscious-minded teacher teaches intentionally and deliberately. The teaching doesn't happen by accident. You are actively involved in helping yourself realize that awakening to truth is the only thing you really want. So your question, I think, was how intense is your desire? So I said, how intense is my desire? Holy Spirit, inner wisdom, how can I most effectively teach myself that awakening is all I truly want? So, the first thing I got was put down the phone. Distractions are many, so grow wiser and cease being torn between contradictory urges. And this is also from Nisargadatta's quote, I guess. Keep mind with pure thoughts, no judgments. Stay focused on the gold, your goal. Know thyself. Stay in the heart for all things. Know your heart in all things. Seek guidance from the heart before reacting and don't make it hard. Each intention grows deeper with more intention and purpose. And I love this line. Seek love, be love, and all else will be given. So be confident in joy. Practice constantly. Bring your practice into your everyday activities until it becomes your nature. Love all that is, no matter what the world shows. Seek inner guidance and surrender what you don't understand. Be patient and allow all things to unfold as they must. Keep your goal and go for the gold. And then NTI James chapter 1, let go of everything that is not of this purpose and your purpose, and to your purpose you are true. So my prayer is guide me and help me to be true to my purpose in awakening to truth. Amen. And then I quoted from NTI James 2, chapter 2, there can be no mistake in this oneness that you are. Misperception is your greatest enemy. Have mercy on yourself. Be willing to surrender your misperceptions for the light of your own awakening. Trust in yourself and your leadership, and you will see the value and joy in all things. And I've noticed that before I used to feel like there were so many doubts, and now it's like, be confident. And then my book, NTI, flipped to NTI Timothy chapter 2. I am all that I am, and that is all I am promised to be. But I cannot limit myself through fear and know all that I am. I choose to release the limits I have chosen for myself. In their release, I see that I am. So I said, I give my willingness. What do I want now? I want to know thyself. I'm going to release the mic.
Yeah, thank you. Don't you love it when books just kind of open up for us to something that's perfect for us to read in the moment? I've had that experience many times. Yeah, it's nice. And I've, you know, people, I think I've had the experience too, but I know people have talked about also where the book like falls off the bed or falls off the chair and then opens up to the page that answers the question they just asked, that kind of thing. It's a lot of fun. Who else would like to share? Okay, George, the mic is yours.
Hello? Can you hear me? Okay, great, great. You know, I was in the True Discern class the other day, and I took the mic and I talked for about 5 minutes, and I didn't have the mic, so it's not a bad idea to check. Lynn, that was great. I enjoyed what you shared there. I had one message from the Holy Spirit this week, and it was on the same Saturday. So I'll share mine. From Regina's tips, NTI James 3, I just jotted some short points down. The most important characteristic of awakening is the desire. Okay, I lost my place. Okay, the most important characteristic of awakening is the desire to awaken. Be a conscious-minded teacher of yourself. Consciously teach yourself. Consciously teach yourself what you want. Desire is the foundation from which all else springs forth. Be true to your true desire, and it shall lead you truly. Today is a good day to ask inner wisdom how you can most effectively teach yourself that awakening is all you truly want. So here was the message. Are you ready now? Be the one, the capital one. Watch me draw you to that which you truly desire. Pay no attention to how you are to do this. Release yourself to me and let me show you the way. It's not hard. Don't compare your path with anyone else's. You have been chosen to go in your own time and your own way. All are chosen. It's only the appearance of time that seems to show one sooner and another later. I am that I am, Holy Spirit. Okay, releasing the mic.
Thank you very much, George. I appreciate that. yeah, that kind of felt, I think that quieted me down a little bit. So, who else would like to share? All right, tell you what, let me read a write-in. How about that? So my first write-in is from Mark. He said, the commentary on awakening about how to deal with realizations came at a perfect time for me as I struggle with a significant issue in an important personal relationship. Especially helpful was the advice not to sleep through a realization, as well as to stay with it until you've received and internalized its gift. This advice and the guidance about it below has helped me throughout the week. And so here's the guidance that Mark received. Truly, waking up is the only thing that matters. Remember this as you deal with every single one of life's daily ups and downs. The only important aspect of every single one of these ups and downs is what am I to learn and see from this experience? You should have no other concern about it than this. If you'll consider each experience from this perspective, you'll catch the realizations that are being provided to you by Source and the Creative Principle. So thank you, Mark, for sharing that. Is it time for someone in the sanctuary now? quite a few people here, so I guess everybody's just feeling a little on the quiet side. Tell you what, let me read from Lene while you guys think about whether you have something to share or not. So from day 246, Lene said, "Help to keep my priority as truly seeing the true self as my identity." And this was her guidance. "Look forward to this process as you would the anticipation of opening a gift under the Christmas tree. As you stare at your name on the package and imagine what is inside, the desire to open it grows. When the time is finally ready, you rip open the package with delight about what you will find inside, realizing what you have opened is the thing you wanted the most. It was yours the entire time it was under the tree. You just had not realized you possessed it yet. Use this same anticipatory desire to unwrap your true self while realizing it has always been in the present." That had a wonderful play on words. Yeah, Jay, I thought of you when I read this, because I knew that you have a similar analogy. And Lene, I think that's a keeper. And by that, I mean that would be a good one to put in our book. It's a nice analogy. And then number 249, she said, "Help me to experience the one love in all its totality. Nighttime skies are full of stars and the moon. The colors show black, blue, white, and silver. There are many shapes and patterns that stars create. They all line up in abiding harmony with each other. No star competes for who shines the brightest or who provides the most benefit. They collectively work together to paint a nighttime sky of beauty and wonder. The totality of love works in a similar way. No star is the same, and none is valued more than the moon. It is all simply an expression of love from what love has created out of love." And again, another beautiful analogy. So thank you so much, Lene, for your sharing. Oops, I'm glad I flipped the page on Lene's, because I accidentally stapled Jill's to the back of Lene's. I would have missed Jill. So I'm glad I did that. Who else has something to read or share? You don't have to read anything. All right, then. Because Jill's was accidentally stapled to the back of Lene's, I actually didn't see Jill's earlier when I was reading. So she has two. And since I didn't read them both and pick one, I'm just going to read everything that Jill sent. So she says, on day 247, "There is still healing to be done in relationship. You have gone to the surface of the ocean to experience an event leading you to again deal with this issue. This is what the surface, the human experience, is for. Now go again into the deep, to a new level of healing. Encourage the others to come with you into the deep. But if they choose not to follow, you continue on your own to go deep into the ocean of true self. And you will know healing. Each time you surface, we will give you an event that stirs an emotion. You will continue to have opportunities to heal. One day you will surface, and even though turmoil may be all around you, you will remain serene, just as you are when you are in the depth of the self. Then you will know you and the issue are healed. The others may still exhibit the same behavior, the behavior that triggers you. But you, when you are healed, it won't bother you anymore. Of course, you will live differently. You will be the observer and no longer attached to the others in the same way. Your ego may feel this as a loss, and you may grieve the loss of attachment, but because you are truly healed, you will still be at peace. Jay says, that's perfect. He had the same thought today. But I love that idea that you dive down into the deep, you feel the peace of the self, and you gather the guidance of the self, and then when you come up, something happens, but that's so you can practice, right? And prepare yourself for the next dive and the next guidance. Then you dive down deep again and feel the peace of the self and receive the guidance and have the clarity. Then you come back up and then something else triggers you and you dive back down again until one day you come up and you're no longer triggered, right? Now, above the water and deep in the water are actually the same. There's no more difference. So thank you for that. And this is the other one that Jill sent from day 250. If you can quiet your mind, you will know peace of the heart. The heart and the mind are you. They are one. But the mind can sometimes break away momentarily and run off to the playground for a bit of diversion. The heart waits patiently for the mind to return, and then you no longer experience the feeling of separateness. Consciousness manifests this diversion to the playground to fulfill a need to learn something or to have an experience that needs to be cleansed in the light and healed. The heart knows this is part of the contract to be in human form. The heart waits patiently and without judgment for the mind to quiet and return to the stillness. When the mind and heart reach the same vibrational level and stillness, then oneness is obtained. In this merging of vibrations, separateness cannot exist. So that was really the same idea as the previous one, but instead of coming above up to the surface of the water and diving deep, we had the mind going to the playground. And then coming back to the heart. So thank you very much, Jill. All right, do we have someone in the sanctuary who would like to share? All right, then I'm going to go to Joanne's. Now, Joanne wrote a lot this week. I don't know if she just sent me more or if she wrote more. Oh, wait. Jay has his hand up, and I would like to hear another voice. I'm going to put Joanne back. She'll wait. And Jay, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Okay, I'm on my iPhone. Thanks, Regina. Can you guys hear me? Anybody? Good. This was from still a few weeks back. Now, this was 234. This was the thought of awakening, about realizing that you're not what you previously thought you were. You're ready to attain a permanent sense of self. And my contemplation was, the mind distracts, and its purpose is to distract and to keep the sight away from the living presence of now that unfolds and shines in love right here and right now. The permanent sense of self is what you truly want, security and belonging beyond any human relationship or object. All your relationships become enhanced by this presence and respond accordingly. That's it.
Thank you very much, Jay, for sharing. I appreciate that. And Jay's going to be here very soon. I think he arrives in Pueblo West on Thursday at some time, so he'll be with us on Friday after closing. We go into the house and measure for the furniture. So, Jay, we're going to put you to work. You're going to have to measure, help us measure for furniture, and then you'll be probably tagging along when we go buy that furniture. Another thing I did was get my credit card, my business credit card limit increased today so I could go buy all that furniture. All right, let's pick up Joanne again. So Joanne, as I was saying, Joanne sent me more this week. I don't know if she wrote more this week or just sent me more, but I could tell from what she wrote that she has stuff going on. I know that there's something going on with her daughter. She shared that with me, something that can be very upsetting. And then also she mentioned something about her parents, something, some kind of a surprise decision by her parents, which she doesn't talk about specifically. But she does a lot of really clear writing, you know, as she goes within and looks at these things that are happening in the world within her wisdom. And I'm just very impressed by that. Like I said, I don't know if she wrote more this week, but sometimes when there is stuff really going on in our lives, I mean, people can really take kind of one of two paths. They can say, there's so much stuff going on, I don't have time for this contemplation stuff and this writing, journaling stuff. Or they can say, there's so much going on, I need to go within. And I need to find out from within how to be with all of this. And it certainly appears that Joanne took made the second choice. So Joanne, I really appreciate that. I wanted to share what she wrote from day 251. And I actually have day 251 and day 252 highlighted for her. So first day 251. Now what she wrote is related to a sentence that came out of NTI James 5. And that sentence is, whoever recognizes that he has been desiring what he does not desire and chooses to desire again in a new way, chooses also to save himself from the multitude of distractions in order to settle within the peace of his own heart. Okay, and so this is what guidance gave her as she contemplated that sentence. This became apparent to you today. After you adopted a new spiritual aspiration yesterday to abide in peace, you had many opportunities today when you recognized disturbances and it came to you to ask, do I want this or do I want peace? What do I truly want? Adopting peace as your spiritual aspiration has been good for you, because you can instantly turn inward to rest in calmness and leave the turbulences of your perceptions slide away. So adopting peace as your spiritual aspiration has been good for you, because you can instantly turn inward to rest in calmness and leave the turbulences of your perceptions to slide away. There we go. And so this is what was written on day 252. And again, remember, it sounds like it was a pretty turbulent week for her. So what a marvelous week to choose to abide in peace. With, you know, some very, very, at least one very important thing going on and one very surprising thing going on that we know of. Day 252, she quoted the sentence, stillness is peace, because stillness is absence of all that isn't real. That was from A Thought of Awakening. And she said, Holy Spirit, in her wisdom, teach me about this. And this is the guidance she got. You have experienced this when you rest in peace. You experienced stillness. Yesterday, when you experienced peace, it was because you let go of the disturbances you experienced at the time. What I am teaching you here is that you experience peace because you let go of what is not true, the disturbances. Note also that you choose peace when you choose to let go of disturbances. Said another way, you find it easier to choose to rest in peace than to let go of the disturbances. Thus continue your focus on peace and you will become adept in letting go. And I thought that was really nice. You know, she doesn't let go of the disturbances and then rest in peace. She is teaching herself, her inner wisdom is teaching her to go to the peace and then from the peace, let go of the disturbances. So that was really beautiful. And thank you very, very much, Joanne. Do we have someone else who would like to share? All right, then. Teresa McBride. Again, she had a few good ones. Sometimes I really have trouble picking out the one I'm going to read, and today was one of those times. But I did pick one in the end. My heart goes for one, so it did. So this is the one. She says, "Dear heart, please correct the confusion in my head. What do I need to see?" And this is the guidance. The heart cannot correct confusion unless you want it to. Are you truly committed to seeing everything within you? Or are you still keeping even some tiny pockets of privacy for yourself? Without deep trust in the loving kindness of the heart, there is still fear that seeks to protect itself by hiding that which needs to be taken out into the light. How do you develop that deep trust, I hear you ask? How do you learn to trust a person? Isn't it over time you see their consistent goodness? You ask a favor and they deliver it to the best of their ability. You learn they can keep a secret, and so you feel free to share what is important to you. You see that they genuinely have a wish that you be happy. In short, you have sufficient evidence that they are trustworthy, and so your trust builds and your friendship deepens. So, my darling child, it is with the heart. If you had not spent time with your friend and got to know her better, trust could not have developed. I am inviting you now to get to know your own deep heart. You do this by spending time there. You do this by withdrawing from the world in meditation and also very frequently during the day. Allow yourself to be still and listen and enjoy. Are you not so grateful that there is a place within that is always untouched by anything in the world? This is the pearl of great price. This is where your treasure is. This is a place where every single person on the planet wishes to be, despite thinking they want something else. You now know the way to the heart. Be faithful to that path as your true and only desire. This is the only way you can serve your brothers. Whatever is happening today, take time to slip away from the world into that place of peace that I have already prepared for you. So beautiful. I thought that, again, was a great analogy. How do you learn to trust a person? Well, you get to know them over time and you learn to trust them. Well, that's how you're going to learn to trust me, you know, spirit or inner wisdom says, and learn not to try and keep secrets from me, learn not to hide things from me, learn to show me even what you consider your darkest spots, your guiltiest spots, your most fearful spots, because as you work with me, you'll learn that you can always trust me, and then you'll be willing to reveal more and more and more. And it's okay if this relationship seems to develop over time. So that was really, really nice. Thank you very much, Teresa, for sharing it with all of us. All right. My body's a little tired because I spent so much time like at keyboards, or Jacqueline and I were hunched over on the floor reading. Those of you who are speakers, you know, you filled out a survey in the last week. And we were hunched over on the floor reading all of your information and attempting to create a new schedule. So my body is like, I don't want to sit here and teach. I want to go do yoga or something. Like, come on. My body thinks we've done enough of this kind of thing all day. It's ready to move. I also usually exercise on a daily basis, and today there wasn't time for that. So it's getting kind of antsy now. So if you guys can see me on the camera and you see me wiggling a lot, that's why. I almost kind of want to stand up and teach. Who else would like to speak? All right, Eileen, the mic is yours. And Eileen, you do not have the mic. Yeah, you didn't mean to push the button. Oh, you didn't mean to put your hand up. Oh, okay, I see. I was so excited to hear. Maybe another day, huh? All right, then. Tell you what, let me share from Kate Brennan. I'm going to share a couple things. Can you guys still hear me? I'm kind of backing up a little bit so I can get a little more comfortable. I want to share a couple things from Kate. First, I'm just going to share something she wrote at the top, and then I'm going to share one of her writings. But she said, I feel like Maria and the Sound of Music in my heart right now. And it's all on the inside, this beautiful feeling of joy glowing and growing inside of me. Funny enough, it's not really showing on the outside. Still looks like Kate, the human being on the outside. I also feel very protective of this inner glow. I'm paying attention to it, loving it, tending to it. Thank you. The lines and guidance that you picked out from James 1 had a big impact. I kept seeing them in very large letters painted on my walls. Or just now, I thought of tattooing them on my arms where I could read them every day. Trust in all things. Trust the healing process. Trust your mind. It will rest. This one was the biggest revelation. Trust my mind. Of course it will rest. The words I have used for years, this too shall pass, became so clear. But to trust it, it just seems so radical. So I wanted to share that with y'all. And now what I'm going to do is share from day 250. The thought of awakening that day was, as the head quiets, the heart is also still. Stillness is the natural state of both. In stillness, separation does not exist. And so this is what Kate wrote. It is hard to see that mind's natural state is stillness. It seems like mind fights stillness. What can you tell me of the stillness of the mind, spirit? And this is the guidance she received. Is there any memory of the child in you still? The picking up of a stone, all there was the sensation of it in your hand, the wonder of the shape of it, the color, maybe even the taste of it in your mouth. There was no thought in the mind, no naming, no comparing, no weighing up of danger or consequence, just stillness in the mind, being with the stone. Before separation from stone. This is the natural state of mind. So I thought it was beautiful that that her inner guidance helped her see that the natural state of the mind is stillness. Yeah, Jacqueline says, wow. Yeah, it's absolutely true. The chatter of mind is unnatural. So thank you, Kate. Anyone in the sanctuary ready? I might start making faces at you guys. Not for any reason, but just because I'm sitting here staring at myself. And when I do that, I start getting this feeling that I just want to make faces. I just entertain myself while I'm here. So the few of you that can see me, you might start seeing some strange things. The other night, Jasmine called, and you know, we talked to her on FaceTime, and she called, and her and Ron were trying to figure something out. And so Ron's doing research on his phone, and I'm just looking at her, and I start making faces, you know, doing stuff. And she goes, this is just an example of the difference in your personalities. Ron is over there doing research, and Mom is doing, well, I don't know what Mom's doing. I thought that was funny. I was playing. That's what I was doing. All right. So Andy Walker, Andy sent me two, and again, they were both really good. Andy's a really good writer when he writes with inner wisdom. He's a really good writer. Oh, Jay wants to share. Oh, sorry, I didn't see a hand. All right, Jay, then I'll wait. I'll put Andy down, and we'll pass the mic to you.
Thanks, Virginia. Yeah, it was about the chattering mind. This was from 235. The chattering mind is always there and always speaking. The voice spirit is also always speaking, but without words. You can listen to one or the other, and in tuning into one, you tune out the other. One choice will lead you to your release, and one choice will bring you continued imprisonment. Listen within and let go of all the thoughts that seek to define you, and receive only from spirit. Remember, the choice is yours, and that all thought is temporary.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jay. And you know, you all had a thought of awakening this week. I don't usually comment on the thoughts of awakening, but you had a thought of awakening this week, which we read a little bit from, which talked about how you know, the mind has some kind of a thought, and then the heart issues a corrective response. But when the mind is still, the heart is also still. What that thought of awakening is really pointing to, and I definitely want you guys to keep writing with inner wisdom. Don't think I don't with what I'm about to say. But what this is really saying is that inner wisdom, in the way that we're experiencing it now in gentle healing, is a temporary manifestation. The reason that we experience inner wisdom the way we do is because the mind is still chattering, because the mind is still judging, because, you know, and we're still giving attention to it. And so when mind, you know, makes noise, the heart issues a corrective response. And that's the inner wisdom that you guys are writing. But when the mind goes silent, and that will come, the heart also goes silent. It doesn't have anything to make a corrective response to anymore. So then there's just silence. So I really loved that thought of awakening this week. I thought it was beautiful. All right, let's go back to Andy. Oh, this is funny, because now I'm going to read from Andy about the thought of awakening that I just spoke on. So it's a natural transition. His writing is based on this line: as the head quiets, the heart is also still. But this is what he writes. He didn't have immediate clarity on that sentence, which is why he went to inner wisdom. He says, one might expect to hear that as the head quiets, one can then hear the quiet voice of the heart. But it doesn't say that. It says that as the head quiets, the heart is also still. What would you have me see here? And this is the guidance. The heart often doesn't communicate through words and thoughts as the head does. So you may think it is not communicating when there are no words and no thoughts. But don't misinterpret the silence. The heart's communication is continuous. It is subtle compared to the head. It occurs on a different frequency of being. The heart communicates through an underlying, still, joyous, knowing. Go there now. Tune in right now. Feel its presence. Feel its peace. Feel the associated joy. It is always available and always on. You don't ever have to do anything to activate it. You just need to synchronize with its vibration. The more you practice tuning into it, the easier it becomes to recognize it. Keep practicing. Ask for help if you need it. So again, really, really beautiful. And that's all of the write-ins that I have. So I want to say thank you to everyone who sent me your sharings today. And again, is there anyone else in the sanctuary who would like to share? If not, you're probably going to have to listen to another Roger Miller song. Cheryl says she loved the sharing tonight. Thank you, Cheryl. On behalf of everyone, thank you. All right, I'm not seeing a hand, so we're going to listen to another Roger Miller song, because like I said, I've been working all day, and now you guys are making me work again tonight. So I'm going to take a break. Listen to Roger Miller. He was the one that was singing "You Can't Roller Skate in a Buffalo Herd." Well, here's another one of, he has a lot of really good songs. We could just sit and listen to Roger Miller all night. This one, we'll see if you guys have heard this one. This one is called "King of the Road."
Traders for sale are in. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no food, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes. I've got 2 hours of pushing broom buys and 8-12 full bedroom. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train, destination Bangor, Maine. Whoa, worn out suit and shoes. I don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stogies I have found. Short, but not too big around. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. I know every engineer, every train, all the children and all the names, every handout in every town. Every lock, it ain't locked when no one's around. I see traders for sale are rent. Rooms let 50 cents. No phone, no food. Got no cigarettes, I've got 2 hours of pushing moonbys and 8-12 old bedroom. I'm a man of means, by no means king of the road. Trailers for sale and rent, rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no food, no pets.
So have you guys heard that one? I thought of you, Jacqueline, during that line, I ain't got no cigarettes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yesterday. So today is her second day as a non-smoker. Good, good. Now everybody knows. All right, so let me go ahead and share a little bit from the tips. Day 246 this week is when you read that commentary on awakening, which was really encouraging you to contemplate, stay with your realizations, because it is, unfortunately, absolutely possible on the spiritual path to have a breakthrough, a realization, and then to have it quickly covered up again. In fact, I was reading during the weekly gathering a couple of months ago, I was reading From the Short Path by Paul Brunton. And the section of that book that I read in that weekly gathering, or actually Joanne was my reader, she read it. talked about that, talked about how we can have these realizations, these breakthroughs, and then the mind quickly comes back and covers it up. So that's something that you all need to be aware of. And when you have a breakthrough, you want to stay with it, right? You want to stay with it in whatever way that you can, and not let the mind come in and cover it back up. Yeah, Jay says he's noticed that darn thing happen. Yeah, so that was a pretty important commentary, because certainly you're at the point where you are having realizations. And so it's important to know that you kind of have to nurse those realizations. Just because you have a realization doesn't mean that it will stick around. It will at one level, but not at the conscious level, because the mind will come in and cover it back up again if you let it. On day 247, that's the day that I shared out of James 1. I shared sentences that just were, just helpful to me over and over and over again when I was going through the purification process. And I'll just read those sentences to you again. I know you guys read them, and I know you read the paragraphs that I wrote about each sentence in the tip. But just so we can hear those sentences again, I'll read those sentences. Trust in all things. And the interesting thing about trusting in all things is you can't actually do that and judge at the same time. So when you're trusting all things, you're actually not judging. And the interesting thing about that particular sentence is it says all things. You know, it's unconditional. Just like not too long ago, we all made commitments. You may have made a commitment to gratitude. Let's see, what else do we have? Gratitude, happiness, acceptance, love, and peace. Those were your options, right? Gratitude, happiness, acceptance, love, and peace. And that was unconditional. Well, in this case, trust. You know, you could say this is a sixth option. If you didn't pick up one of those five, you might want to pick up trust. Trust, but again, it's unconditional trust. It's trusting all things. It's really kind of the opposite of wishing something was different. Right? You trust all things. You don't have to understand it. You just trust it as it is. The second sentence, trust the healing process. You know, and as I mentioned in the paragraph, sometimes we go through some pretty, what seems like dire situations. You know, Peace Pilgrim said that the ego knows the weakest spot in your armor. And really, if you know the ego, all the ego really wants is your attention. That's all it wants from you, is your attention. And so it knows how to get your attention. It knows what stories will get your attention. It knows what buttons to push, you know, to get your attention. It knows what your primary identities are, you know. So if your primary identity is mother, it could, you know, give you something to think about with your children. If your primary identity is executive, it can give you something to think about with your job. You know, I mean, it knows how to get your attention. And so as all of this stuff is coming up, all of this stuff is happening, what you really need to do is trust that the reason it is happening is because you have chosen to be healed or awaken, and you want to use it for that purpose, right? Which James is really all about, you know, the purpose of your life is awakening, and your life is absolutely perfect for awakening, and everything that happens in your life is to assist you in awakening, right? So trust in all things, trust the healing process. And then Kate commented on this, trust your own mind, it will rest, right? It will. And I mentioned that I used to imagine the mind as being like a little wind-up doll, a little wind-up toy, and it was all wound up, so it was chattering, 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 chattering. But you know what happens to a wind-up toy if you leave it alone is it wears itself out, and then eventually it stops. So that's the trick, is to leave the mind alone. And the way we leave the mind alone is not giving it attention, right? And if you just don't give it attention, no matter what it's all wound up about, it will eventually putter out, right? So you can trust your own mind. It will rest. Listen within with true desire as your focus. In my time on the spiritual path, I have come across people who wanted to ask questions of Holy Spirit. Questions like, should I move in with my boyfriend or not? should I take this job or that job? And the truth is, if you're asking questions that aren't about awakening, ego is what's going to answer. Holy Spirit or inner spiritual wisdom has one focus, one purpose, one thing it tunes into, and that is awakening you to reality. So if you really want guidance that comes from the clarity of inner wisdom, your questions need to be about awakening. So you could ask a question like, why am I so challenged in deciding whether to move in with my boyfriend or not? What are my obstacles? Right? So that's a different question than should I move in with him or not, right? Why am I so challenged in knowing whether, you know, whether this is right for me or not? What are my obstacles that are making this hard and confusing for me? You know, and same type of question regarding the jobs, like, what priorities do I have that are in my way that are keeping me from just knowing which job I should take? You know, what are my obstacles? As long as you keep the questions tuned towards awakening, you can trust that inner wisdom is answering. But as soon as you turn the questions towards something else, you actually can't trust that inner wisdom is answering. Even if you say, Holy Spirit, which job should I take? It's all about the intent. You know, what is your intent for asking the question? I want awakening. You know, why am I so confused about this? Why is it so hard for me to make a decision? What do I need to see in myself? Do I have fears here that I need to see that I'm not seeing? All those types of questions are going to be very, very helpful. Another sentence, use all things to practice the true desire of the heart. That means that every single thing that happens in your life, whether the mind defines it as good or bad, has one purpose, and that is your awakening. That's the only purpose that it has. And so if you use it for that, you awaken very quickly. If you occasionally use it for that, and most of the rest of the time you're just trying to manage life as if life itself is important, life meaning what happens in a daily life, then your awakening may drag out. You know, so it's really depends on how much you use what's happening and how consistently you use what's happening for your own awakening. Use all things to practice the true desire of the heart. And then this is one of my favorites. To listen, but not to practice, is to be like a man who looks in the mirror, but then goes away and forgets what he saw. And I think probably all of you experience great clarity when you're in contemplation or meditation or both, right? Just great clarity. But I'm sure you all also know, it's kind of like when you get up from the chair and you walk away, the mind comes back in and you don't necessarily experience that same clarity. What this is saying is that you have to actively bring that clarity back during the day. You know, and you can actively bring that clarity back by reading the thought of awakening throughout the day, by reading your guidance that you wrote throughout the day, by focusing on awareness throughout the day, by saying a name of God mantra throughout the day. You know, there are a number of ways to do it, but you have to actively return your focus to your clarity. And if you don't, then it's just kind of like forgetting what you saw that morning when you were in that space of contemplation and meditation. So that's 247. 248, again, was making the point, again, that every detail of your current life is absolutely perfect for your awakening. And I think I've told you guys this story before, but I remember the first time I ever heard John Sherman. If you don't know John Sherman, he is a spiritual teacher. We interviewed him once for the Awakening Together satsang. And the first time I ever heard him, he was talking about how his awakening came while he was in prison. And, you know, he's one of these people that, you know, really was kind of what people would call a bad guy. I think he, even if I remember correctly, blew up buildings or tried to blow up buildings, you know, I think he robbed banks, right? And so he ended up in prison. Yeah, a Joe Wolf type, right? Joe Wolf was also a bad guy. Yeah, Joe Wolf was, I always say Joe Wolf was so bad that he was a leader of one of the gangs in prison. Can you imagine how bad you have to be the leader of a gang in prison? You know, so John Sherman was a bad guy. He wore a black hat. But then in prison, things changed for him. He became aware of Gangaji's teachings and Ramana Maharshi's teachings and began practicing self-inquiry and awoke and came out of prison a spiritual teacher. But when I first heard him, he was being interviewed by someone. And he was telling the interviewer about his life in prison and how he would use it to contemplate and practice self-inquiry and all of that. And he said, you know, my life was just perfect for my awakening. And then he looked at the interviewer and he said, and your life is perfect for yours. You see? And that's really the point that James is making. It's whatever your life is, it's perfect for your awakening. You can't have a life that's not perfect for your awakening. So your only job is really to learn how to use your life for your awakening rather than taking your life seriously and as something important in itself. Right. So again, day 248 in T.I. James was all about every detail of your current life is absolutely perfect for your awakening. Day 249, you were asked to be a conscious-minded teacher of yourself. And a conscious-minded teacher is one who is actively aware of what she is teaching and teaching it regularly. You know, so that's a conscious-minded teacher. And so you are asked to actually teach yourself what you really want. And this is kind of important because we get tricked by the mind. We get tricked by the mind thinking that we want things other than awakening. And it is a trick. It isn't what we really want. But you have to teach yourself what you really want. And, you know, one way to do that, at least one way that worked for me, was taking that time every day for contemplation, meditation, and just noticing how I felt during that part of the day. And then later, when I was more involved in the world and focused on the world and whatever was going on with the world, again, noticing how I felt. And I could tell through the comparison of the two, which one was really my heart's desire, which one I really, really wanted. I could tell by how I felt when I was in that meditation and contemplation time. I felt fulfilled. You know, I felt at home. I felt joyous, deeply content is what I mean by joyous in this case. Deeply, deeply content. Right? And that's not how I felt later when my attention returned to the world. So that's one of the ways you can be a conscious-minded teacher of yourself, teaching yourself what you really want, is just paying attention to yourself. Pay attention. And I heard Jacqueline in one of her teachings recently talk about peaceful warrior. Now Socrates and Jill were telling Dan, you know, asking him, are you paying attention? Right? Are you paying attention? Well, by paying attention, you actually learn. But by not paying attention, of course, you don't learn. So that's one way to be a conscious-minded teacher of yourself. On day 250, we were looking at worldly desires with clarity. So this is a part of that being a conscious-minded teacher of ourself. And if you really look at your worldly desires with clarity, you'll notice things. Like you'll notice every time you satisfy one desire, another desire is born. Like there's just no end to the chain of desire. You get one thing and maybe you feel satisfied for just a little bit, and then there's something else that you need or want. It just keeps leading to new stuff. So there's no end to that worldly desire. Another thing you may notice is that while you're pursuing worldly desires, while you're letting that be your priority, you're actually putting off awakening. You can actually see yourself doing that if you pay attention. Are you paying attention? I also put some links to three tips from last year that were also about letting go of desires. So I gave you quite a bit on day 250 if you're interested in looking at worldly desires with clarity. I gave you quite a bit there that will help you do that, which again will help you to be a conscious-minded teacher, teaching yourself what you really want. On day 251, I told the stories of Job and Peace Pilgrim. And I pointed out that for both Job and Peace Pilgrim, reality was supreme. What was happening in form, it wasn't important compared to reality. And both of these stories are pretty intense stories. Right, Job loses everything, his wealth, his children, his health, right? He loses everything. Peace Pilgrim is nearly frozen to death without any human help nearby. And yet, because reality was so important to them and because they were so focused on reality, these, what some people might call very negative situations in form, it didn't interrupt their love of truth. It just didn't. It couldn't. And, you know, these are important stories. And I think I've mentioned to you all before that as we get near the end of NTI, NTI is getting very straight with us. You know, like, you know, we can't fool NTI by thinking, well, you know, we're enlightened. We can be happy and we can be enlightened as long as we're healthy. You know, and people, there are people all over the spiritual path that buy that. There are people all over the spiritual path that think there is some kind of a connection between health and enlightenment. Right? There isn't. There is no connection between health and enlightenment. Some enlightened people were healthy. Some enlightened people were not healthy. You know, like Peace Pilgrim said that from the time she had her awakening, she was perfectly healthy. She never even experienced another headache, which is why she had to die in a car crash, because you got to go some way. She had perfect health. But then you got other people like Ramana Maharshi, who, you know, in his 40s, right? In his 40s was shaking and getting arthritis, and he ended up getting cancer and died, what, he was around 60 when he died? You know, so there is no connection between health and enlightenment, or wealth and enlightenment, or whether people like you or not, and enlightenment. The connection there is your love of truth. There's a definite connection between your love of reality and enlightenment. And when you're still in love with the world and what happens in the world, well, you're not yet enlightened. You know, you still think you're a body mind personality, and you still think things have to be a certain way for you to be happy, right? Conditional. But as you awaken more and more and more, I mean, stuff keeps happening in the world. Some of the stuff is stuff that the mind would say is good, and some of the stuff is stuff that the mind would say is bad. But you're just happy. Yeah, you know, you're just happy. You're just content. You're just enjoying the movie, because now your focus is on reality. And Jay says the story of Ramana was posted, and Nancy's asking, where was it posted? So I don't know if you have an answer. Oh, actually, Cheryl said the story of Romana was posted. And Nancy's asking, where was it posted? And Cheryl says on Facebook, so just somewhere on Facebook. Yeah. So the stories about Job and Peace Pilgrim were to help us see that reality is supreme. And then on day 252, which is today, as we start 1 Peter, 1 Peter asks us to let go of misperceptions now. And it points out that the primary misperception is the idea that you are an individual, you know, a body, mind, personality, or even an individual soul. And in the tip, I took something that my mom was saying on vacation and I added to it. What I wrote in the tip was, I am in God. God is in me. God is all. All is God. And I said, that's the essence of truth. You know, some of you who are looking for a mantra, you could possibly use this. I am in God. God is in me. God is all. All is God. I said that, you know, on vacation, my mom was saying, I am in God and God is in me, which I was really, you know, impressed with, you know, because she studies at a Southern Baptist church. I am in God. God is in me. God is all. All is God. And Jay is asking if someone will type that. I would be happy to. So, I am in God. God is in me. God is all. All is God. Oops. All is God. There you go, Jay. And actually, you know, this is very much like some statements that we were asked to contemplate way back in Luke. And Luke, these statements showed up several times in Luke, and we were asked to contemplate them. And there are a lot more words, but they really have the same meaning. This is what we were asked to contemplate back in Luke. The Spirit of God is one. Nothing exists that is outside of the Spirit of God. I exist. So I must be within the Spirit of God. That which is within the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. I and the Spirit of God are one. All else is illusion. You know, it's a lot more words, but it really has that same meaning as I am in God. God is in me. God is all. All is God. So let me read them from NTI Luke. The Spirit of God is one. Nothing exists that is outside the Spirit of God. I exist, so I must be within the Spirit of God. That which is within the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. I and the Spirit of God are one. All else is illusion. And that's all that I have to share. And like I said, I didn't even read Rupert Spira, and I'm willing to finish early. Unless there's somebody here in the sanctuary who has something that they would like to share from the last week. Is there anyone? All right, then, Cheryl, what I'm going to do is finish early, and you can just play music, or you can pick out something that you want to listen to, you know, something from YouTube, or maybe go to the Regina NTI teachings of James, or just anything you want to do. What I'm going to do is probably go do some work. I still have a lot of work to do, but I'm going to do it leisurely, you know, kind of watching TV and doing work at the same time. So watch for an announcement, you guys, that we have closed on the house, because once we close, I will make an announcement and it will come out on your daily date. But it should happen in just a few days now. All right. And I know the homework is pretty routine typically, but actually I do have something different to share tonight. So I think it's important that I say this. I mean, you guys know all about contemplating, and you know all about doing the meditation, and you know all about the loving all method, and you know that you're going to do the daily contemplations from the thoughts of awakening, and you're going to do the reading comes out with the tips. But yes, what Ken has just typed in the room, you might not know. We are on about week 91 now, and when we get to week 97, we'll be going into the teachings of Inner Ramana. We're almost done with NTI. So if you don't already have the teachings of Inner Ramana, you might want to order it so that you have it by the time we get there. And you can order it from the Awakening Together website, from our bookstore. And since, well, I guess even while I'm in Italy, if your order comes in while I'm in Italy, I can leave some with Ken and he can send it to you. But I was going to say, you might want to get that done before I go to Italy so I can ship it to you. The best place to get the things of Inner Ramana is from Awakening Together. You can get it on Amazon too, but our publisher hasn't done a real good job of helping it show up there. Jay's asking how many weeks. Yeah, I think it's about 6 weeks. Of course, we're not going to do gentle healing while we're in Italy, so that'll stretch it out to closer to 8 weeks. But we will be doing Inner Ramana soon. So again, if you don't have it, please order it. It's very expensive to ship overseas. So if you're an international person and you don't want to pay that expensive shipping, just email me. I'll let you make a small donation and I will send you the PDF version. I won't send the PDF version to anyone else because the publisher didn't actually publish an ebook. And so to honor our contract, I'll sell books to people in the US. But if you're not in the US and you don't want to pay the expensive international shipping, in that case, I will sell you a PDF for a small donation. So just email me if you're outside of the country. Regina Dawn Akers at yahoo.com, and let me know that you'd like the PDF version.